Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Daryl.
And this is episode 350, Daryl. 350.
Spartans?
No, we did that one already at 300.
Yep.
That was fun. No, this week we've got a ton of news. We're going to talk about what you are watching and what I am watching. And then we're going to review She-Boar and Dragon stuff.
I like that. I just saw that right before we went live, the Dragon stuff one.
That's the only, yeah, I can only call it Dragon stuff. Fire and Blood episode, I mean House of the Dragon episode one. I did not read Fire and Blood yet.
I have not either. Evidently, it's written more as almost like a history book.
Yeah.
More than a regular novel.
Yeah. So.
Which I don't mind that at all. But
no,
I mean, the Silmarillion is, it's similar in a sense. I mean, yeah, there's stories in there, but it's more about the history of Middle Earth.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
I don't mind those type of things.
Yeah. I don't either. I kind of like those. But anyway, so yeah, let's just hop right into what you're watching and we'll get our witty banter and repartee out there. So why don't you kick this one off?
Yeah, so I'm watching one thing on your favorite Groomer Flicks, and then I'm watching something on Hulu, and I have three streaming services I'm watching something on. So on Netflix, it's Tekken Bloodlines. Yeah, you know, I've been a Tekken video game fan for shit since Tekken 2 maybe, and it's basically the story following Jin Kazama trying to get revenge for the death of his mother. There are some elements that it brought in of some of the earlier Tekken, so it's not just straight Tekken 2. Good animation. I have to watch it, though, in Japanese and subtitle, because the American version of Heihachi Mishima is awful. Like, not that he's a bad, like, the voice guy is bad, but it just doesn't fit the character.
Yeah.
A little bit, and again, you know, I know some people don't like anime. It's in the anime style. Some people might not like that. Good action. I only have two more episodes. It's only six episode season.
Yeah.
So far, I'm really digging it. Second is The Old Man with stars Jeff Bridges. It was on FX, but I've been watching it on Hulu. So I think season one's over with. I think I also only have two episodes to go. That is a really cool show about, you know, this guy that old man, almost like old man Logan in the sense of this badass who is well over the hill.
Oh, you haven't gotten far enough yet.
Yeah, but whose past is coming back to haunt him.
No. So The Old Man is mine as well. I actually just finished it yesterday. The old man is not what you think.
Yeah, what I'm saying, though, he is the old man, though. Like, that's what I know what you're talking. I think I know what you're talking about. But Jeff Bridges is also the old man.
Well, he's an old man. So
yeah,
yeah. So, you'll see. You'll see. I don't want to spoil anything
okay,
for you. So,
okay. He's the old man in the sense of he's out of his prime.
He's still pretty much a badass. I mean, he takes the damage for sure, but he's a badass. Yeah,
but he's far out of his prime. Dude's like 70 years old, but he still can kick ass, but he's not like the guy that he was. But, I mean, it's a really cool show. I really, really like it. I think I have two episodes to go. And then the last one, it's something I've seen before, but Jess and I are watching it. I finally got her to watch it, is Ted Lasso. We're on episode 4 of season 2, I believe.
Okay.
So again, I talked about Ted Lasso a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Beautiful show.
You finally caught up.
Yeah, beautiful show. Not sure when season 3 is going to come around, but
soon.
That's what I'm watching right now.
I think.
Okay. Do they have a date yet?
I'm checking now. No, not yet.
Okay.
Oh wait.
And Ted Lasso is released weekly, right?
Yeah. So they'll do the first couple episodes, like first two episodes, usually maybe three. And then it says here it'll be 12 episodes, just like season 2. So But TV Guide does not have the date yet, so still coming. But yeah, cool. Yeah, no, I fucking the old man is great.
Yeah, it's awesome. One of my buddies told me about it, and I finally started watching it probably a few weeks ago. I think I'll probably try to finish it this weekend.
Yeah, that was on our list after we finished Yellowstone. Speaking of Yellowstone, you do not have the commercial free plan on Paramount.
I didn't realize there was one, or I haven't watched Paramount. I'm only watching movies on that, so
Yeah.
I haven't watched the series.
Oh, I see. I see. I see. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Anyway, so yeah, so sometime in the fall 2022 for Ted Lasso, which is awesome. All right, so I've been watching The Old Man as well. Just finished that. It was great. Loved it. And I actually started rewatching Dexter
Oh, really?
from the beginning. So I've got a couple. I think I'm on episode 9 of season 1. And it's funny watching it. If it wasn't for the graphic violence and occasional nudity, Dexter would have been a, to quote David Griffin, a sunshine and smiles series on USA. Like it looks like a USA show. It feels like
It
a
does.
USA show. It's
It
just
really does.
uber violent. And that like really struck me watching it this time because I haven't watched it in a few years. But it like I don't know. I just like at least the first season. I love the first season. I love the first couple seasons. It's a good show. It's fun. If you haven't seen it, it's about a serial killer who kills other serial killers. It's very dark sense of humor. And I've been watching Top Gun Maverick.
I just bought that today.
I pre-ordered it. And I got the email at like 12:01. Top Gun Maverick is ready to watch. I'm like, do I want to watch Top Gun Maverick now? Or wait, and I'll just watch it twice on Wednesday. And I've watched it 3 times since I got it.
Damn.
Well, I mean, it's great, like just background while I'm working.
Oh,
It's
absolutely it is.
really quite excellent at that.
I probably would have done the same thing if I would have bought it before today, this
Yeah.
afternoon.
So, and then, yeah, I mean, I'm just sticking to my typical like YouTube fare and stuff like that. I've been watching, I forget the name of the channel now. It's a guy who does like air fryer cooking because I like using my air fryer. So,
Nice.
I've been looking in for like different things to cook in there. I actually bought just, this Cooking Time with Brian and Daryl, two like silicone inserts to put in instead of the fryer basket to cook with. So I'm gonna test one of those out this weekend and see how they work.
Test, let me know how that works,
Yeah,
because that sounds really
because you just take it out and you clean it out, or you can put it in the dishwasher. And
cool.
but I like cooking like multiple things, right? And so I'll have to like sometimes like clean things out because I don't want to burn stuff onto the pan. And anyway, yeah, good times.
Quick addition
Yeah.
to the what are you watching? We're also watching in Alex versus America, Alex Guarnaschelli, and she has every week she does a challenge where she get, where they get three of the top chefs in their field, and she doesn't know what this field is going to be, and they try to beat her in a cooking competition. It's pretty cool.
Cool. Very cool. Oh, and yeah, I guess I was gonna say, I've been, what was I watching? When it just slipped my mind. You're reminding me of it. Anyway, whatever. But yeah. All right. So yeah, what we're watching. Lots of stuff. I'm surprised you picked The Old Man. I'm glad we didn't talk about that ahead of time. So all right. So Jordan Elias. Everyone's favorite John Kent.
Is it else? Isn't it LSAS? Is it LSAS?
Oh,
Or
I don't know.
I don't know how you
I
pronounce
guess
it,
that would be
but
Elsass. So
I mean, unless the S is,
Or it's
first S is
Elsass,
silent.
John Elsass. Anyway, let's go with Elsass. Is leaving Soups and Lolo. He did not report on time for the Vancouver cast deadline to, you know, say he was part of the show. It doesn't really say if he's quit or fired, but both his mental health, both mental health issues and his vaccination status are unclear. So Canada, if you don't know, is a wintry hellscape of tyranny and nonsense. And they require people to get experimental medications put into their body to go there.
Absolutely ridiculous. That's
So,
all I need to say about that,
yeah.
honestly.
Oh, yeah. So I love the change of the narrative of the vaccine over the last few days.
Yeah. And
So,
although some you and again,
oh, let me rephrase
if you
that.
want to
It's not a vaccine, a therapeutic. And I'm going to get political on this. And you know, fuck off. Anyway.
Well, it's funny you said that because right before we started, when I read the article, because I didn't read this article until just now. I'd read it from somewhere else,
Okay.
and then I read some of the comments, and it's like, look, you know what? If someone has a different opinion on something, then you might not like it, but once you start basically castigating someone as stupid, as kooky, as evil, you're a fucking retard. So shut up.
Yep.
That's all I have to say about
Ooh,
that.
you said it, not me. Normally I say that word. Anyway, so it's unclear. He did a cameo for someone and it was really funny. Did you watch them? He did. It was like a
No,
two-part cameo. And he's like replied to the kid with a cameo. He's like, hey, I didn't know if you wanted a cameo, so I'm sorry if you had to pay for this. And it's like, dude, you did it on purpose because you don't have a job.
I
So he was really ambiguous too, but he was talking about how it was a real shame and he was pumped for season 3, and that his mental health is 100% a priority and takes precedence. So you know, here's the thing: I'm not gonna bash him. When you told me about this and then I went hunting down news about it, I joked, "Oh, he obviously doesn't want to play a gay John Kent." This is going to be really interesting. I almost think they should kill the character off.
You know what? That was my first thought, honestly. As bad as it is, because I do not like, I understand why sometimes this happens, where an actor can't fulfill a commitment and they have to recast an important character. I mean, again, we saw this and different reasons, but we saw this with Spartacus and it worked out, even though, like, I mean, you had seen it before me and I was kind of hesitant when Liam McIntyre became Spartacus.
Yeah.
He worked out just fine.
Well, it
But
took a
and this
while
is a
though. It
case,
like it took a few
yeah, it did.
episodes. And
It
but
absolutely did.
here's I'm just gonna interrupt for 1 second because of your analogy there. It also they had the they did the prequel series in between seasons 1 and 2 of
Yes.
Spartacus, and that helped lighten the load and the blow of a new character playing Spartacus.
Oh, absolutely.
Because everyone's like, holy shit, this Gannicus guy, who is Gan, like, let's get more Gannicus. Dustin is awesome. Like, let's have this, please. So it made it easier for Liam McIntyre to fill Andy's sizable shoes.
Instead of coming right, going right back into the
Yep.
season a few months later. Yeah,
Yeah.
you're absolutely right on that.
So,
And
and plus
yeah, I don't.
Jai Courtney did that documentary about Andy and the, you know, and it
Oh,
was,
dude.
yeah. I'm not
Dude,
saying it
that
was
was.
dusty when I watched it, but
Oh, I'm saying it was
yeah,
dusty
it
as
was,
hell
but it
watching
was
that.
dusty when I was watching it.
Yeah, that was what I love that documentary.
Yep.
It was incredible
So, but
and sad.
I think in this instance, like these two kids, like, I mean, they're kids. They're both, you know, I don't even think they're 25 yet, right?
No, they said he's not even 20. I don't know
Yeah.
how old the other one is,
So
but they just said
yeah.
almost 21 in this article, I
Okay.
think.
I mean, they built a really nice chemistry as believable brothers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe one of the issues is that Jordan is like three apples high, and Alex, who plays Jordan Kent, is now like 6'1" or something crazy. Like he had a massive growth spurt. But you know, I don't. I mean, it's sad. I hope, you know, here's what I'm gonna say because I don't think Jordan will ever hear this. But I hope he gets whatever he needs taken care of and that he has a happy life and he does whatever he wants to do. I like him as an actor. I liked him as this character. I'm more than happy to support whatever he's on if he does come back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And yeah, it's just a blow to a show that we've been looking forward to, you know, ever since we saw the finale. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, because he's going to get a super suit.
Yeah, and they might find someone who it might be fine, but it's really tough when you've seen, and this is not like he's been in the show for one season. This is two seasons worth of character growth and chemistry that we've seen between the family.
Yep.
And then to have that be upended is sad. And hopefully they can kind of smooth it over or find a way to, whether it be creatively writing him out or, you know, finding a recast who works well within the dynamic. But we'll just, it's one of those wait and see. And I agree with you, you know, whatever he does after this, I hope whatever it's going on with him, you know, he gets it right.
Yeah.
You know,
so if
don't show up on the radar, you know, choking people or anything like that, or hitting people with chairs.
So,
you know, get the help
before if it wasn't Todd Helbig running the show and it was like Mark Berlanti or someone like that, I would assume they would be like, oh no, Jonathan's black now. So, or Jonathan's a girl now. You didn't know that.
Johanna.
Yeah. Anyway.
Or Joanna.
Joanna. Joe Mama. Anyway. All right. Speaking of mentally ill douchebags, Ezra Miller is trying to save his job. Plain and simple. I guess he showed up with his agent, and his agents are trying to save
their commission
because I feel like Warner Brothers has every like right to sue this guy and cancel this movie. But it says here, Ezra Miller meets with Warner's leadership in a flash course correct. And this is an exclusive from The Hollywood Reporter. The meeting on the Burbank lot between the actor, his agent, and Warner's Michael DeLuca and Pamela Addy sought to quell concerns over the star's arrest and controversies. So they talk about this. That of course, they have to mention Batgirl in this article, right?
But of course.
But of course they do. And they mention his August 15th non-apology. I want to apologize to everyone I've alarmed and upset with my past behavior.
He might as well have done played the Conor McGregor skit or the soundbite.
He should have just taken a dump on the Flash script and like put it on Instagram. Anyway, but my favorite part of all this is, according to sources, Miller vowed to seek help after learning that DeLuca and Addy were considering all options for Flash, including scrapping the $200 million movie if things devolved further with Miller. While the actor is said to not have minded the stream of bad headlines, he was spooked by the notion of the film getting canceled and jolted to take action. Says one source, he cares about the Flash. It's one of his favorite characters to play.
No, he doesn't care about the Flash.
He doesn't care about anything.
No. Like you said, he did this to save his job and paycheck.
Yep.
To say that you don't mind the headlines, the bad headlines, and then turn around and say you care about the Flash, when that is going to absolutely affect the bottom dollar of this movie, mm-hmm. you can't, you do not care about the Flash. You just care about yourself and you want those paychecks coming in. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. After months of headlines about Miller, the mood regarding Flash is more hopeful on the lot than it has been in some time, even if the movie still has ways to go before it's, what the hell, Hollywood Reporter? Where was I? It has ways to go before its ultimate release date. Still, the movie was received some So the movie has received some of the highest scores in test screenings since Christopher Nolan's Batman movies, and execs and creatives believe they have the goods to have a critical and box office hit that lives up to those scores. So this movie's testing well, but it's not done. You know, they have a ton of effects still to put in. So who knows what's happening here? I think he should be on pretty thin ice. And let's be honest, if they want this movie to be a hit, they probably want to recast him.
Yeah. Because you can't, there are going to be a lot of people. And again, after all of the stuff that's happened with DC, and you know how I am with the Marvel films, mm-hmm. like right now, like I didn't even see Thor. I don't even know when it comes to the plus. I have no idea. I don't really care.
And you haven't watched Thor Dumb and Blunder, but you're making me watch She-Bore.
Well, I'm not making. I just wanted to watch the first. We'll talk about that when we get there.
God but, damn you, Daryl James Jasper. I know that's James. Not your middle name.
But with this, like with DC and their movies right now, I don't have any faith in anything they're doing, and I really don't know if I would want to go see The Flash with this guy in it. I'm usually not that guy, but the stuff he's done is not like one or two things. His behavior has been so egregiously bad, and they've done nothing. Mm-hmm. They've not spoken out against it. I have that really, especially considering the reason I know why they haven't spoken out against it. It's because he's in a protected class.
Yeah.
And that's why they haven't said anything. And granted, you know, $200 million is on the line too. So I understand why they would take a second thought of canceling that versus canceling a $70 million movie that would absolutely destroy the legacy of Batgirl.
Yeah.
Based on some of the stuff we read. Mm-hmm. So I understand them taking a second to, like, okay, we can't just axe this movie right out like we did back, or we have to think about it, but it's still on the table. I don't know if I'm going to see this. I mean, I will see this, but I doubt if I would go see it in theaters.
Right.
Honestly.
Right.
With him in it, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't necessarily want to go see this one with him in it, but sticking with DC films, Aquaman and Shazam sequels have been pushed back, considerably pushed back, really. I mean, this isn't just like weeks. I mean, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom is pushed back more than 8 months, March 17th, 2023 to December 23rd, December 25th, 2023. So we've still got to wait more than a year for that movie. And then Shazam will be taking the March 17th, I think, and it's moving from like February or something like that.
I still like just thinking about, I had a good time with Aquaman. I still can't believe it made more than over the $1 billion mark.
You know, well, one Land Black Panther or Water Black Panther was a good movie.
I mean, yeah, I had fun with it. Yeah.
As far as like fun, right? Two, mm-hmm. even though I'm not like the biggest fan of him, like I understand Jason Momoa is like a very infectious actor. People like him. He's good at the things that he's good at. Like, if he were Wolverine, he would say, "I'm the best in the world at what I do," which I do believe. I think he's what he does as an actor. He's the best actor in the world at what he does. And that's being like a badass dude, bro, who's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I this is one of those things where I can separate, and we've talked about this on many occasions, where you might, I don't necessarily like him pop bumping his gums with some of the stuff he says, but you know what? He has the right to say that as, you know, a human being, you have your right to your own opinion. I like that his movies are fun mm-hmm. in the sense of being fun and good as movies, and not necessarily, and again, this is not counting apparently what this Aquaman 2 is going to do, who knows? But, being what the movie should be about entertainment and not about the message.
Right.
So I really enjoy him on the screen. I was just, thinking about going back and watching that series on Apple TV,
Oh,
C,
see?
that he's
Yeah.
in.
I haven't
I
watched that
watched the
one
first
yet.
two episodes.
Yeah.
First two episodes were really good. He was good in what was that show on Netflix, Frontier,
Oh,
I think.
yeah.
He was good in that. I mean, I just like the guy. He's just so charismatic on
I
screen.
mean, let's not
And
forget like him on Game of Thrones. I mean,
yeah.
he's got one of the classic characters who
Khal
really
Drogo.
was who was only in the first season. And
Yeah, he was only in the first, not even the full season.
But I mean, it's still one of the most talked about characters on the show. And he's one of the characters who, Khal Drogo had a huge legacy as a character in the realm. So I don't know. I mean, here's my thought. This got pushed back so they can take Amber Heard completely out of the movie.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that. And
I understand why they pushed Shazam back because it's too close to Avatar,
Right.
non-bending Avatar. Two, and they want it because it was like a week apart, and they're like, okay, they want to,
So Avatar got moved back?
No, Avatar didn't move. No,
I
Shazam
thought
was
Avatar was supposed to be in December.
of yeah,
Again,
and
I haven't watched. I haven't.
Shazam was coming out close to Avatar 2,
Okay.
and
All right,
so
gotcha.
moving Shazam to March gives it a couple months instead of a couple weeks.
Yeah. Okay, that
So,
makes sense.
yeah. So that one makes sense. Yeah, and honestly, I think the work they're gonna have to do to get noted husband abuser Amber Heard and bed pooper on her out of the movie probably isn't gonna be super easy. But yeah. God, they can't not mention Batgirl, can they?
No, they can't.
The release date changes come amid tumult for other DC properties, most notably Batgirl. The once HBO Max bound movie was shelved and will not be released on any platform despite being completely finished, which is a lie. That is a lie. It is not completely finished. They came out and said that the other day.
And having a $90 million
Yeah,
price
and
tag.
this article is from the 24th, and like they said before that, it what they'd spent $90 million so far. Did you hear the guys who directed it? They tried to go on the Warner's server and download some of the scenes that they wanted to have,
Yeah.
and they
Yep.
found that it was empty. It's like, dude, they took all that shit down before they announced anything.
Oh, absolutely they
Yeah,
did.
because you assholes were gonna download the film and release it for free.
Yeah.
All right, so this isn't so here's the thing. These aren't the only movies that are moving around. The House Party redo is now December 9th of this year. Evil Dead Rise is April 21st of next year, and Nun 2 is September 8th of next year. I don't know what their original dates were.
Yeah. You
And
see,
then
Salem Plot got taken completely off the schedule.
yeah. So who knows? And then they announced release dates for November 17th for Christmas Story Christmas, which I guess that's a sequel to A Christmas Story. Or I
Followed
guess
by Holiday Holidays.
it would be Christmas. I think it would be the not the sequel, would be the third one, because wasn't there A Christmas Story 2, I do believe.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, followed by Holiday, and A Christmas Mystery. And a
And the
Hollywood
Hollywood
Christmas. I imagine a Hollywood Christmas involves like actors or California politicians going around and stuffing kids into bags and then putting them under trees on an island.
Oh, man.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. And then our last news bite. You brought this one to my attention because I think the news just came out a little bit ago.
Yeah, it came out today.
Yeah. Let's see. Does it have a date stamp? Yeah, this came out this morning. Fantastic Four, WandaVision director Matt Shankman, who directed some of the. I mean, WandaVision was good, so we're not gonna bash WandaVision at all, is in talks to direct following John Watts' exit from what Hollywood Reporter. Oh, by the way, this episode is brought to you by the Hollywood Reporter. following the exit of John Watts, Marvel's signature superhero team. Okay, if it's a signature superhero team, don't fuck with it, MCU. Do it right.
Do you trust them not to?
I don't trust them not to. So I like either. Matt Shankman. Not only did he direct WandaVision, but he directed some Game of Thrones, and he directed my favorite comedy of all time, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah. So, and apparently he's been tapped by Paramount to direct the next Star Trek film, but that's supposed to come out in December of next year. So it says it's unclear if he'll remain involved. So, yeah. The other thing is, so Fantastic Four is going to kick off Marvel's Phase 6 on November 8th of 2024, even though there's no casting or script announcement or anything like that.
Just follow the source material, please. You know, as far as when you're doing this casting, yeah, when you're doing story, just do your best, because I understand. No, when we say follow the source material, we're not saying take everything panel for panel. No, we're not saying that. We're
that
saying
only works is, when Zack Snyder does it.
Yes. This is true.
And that's only, that's the only way it works for Zack Snyder. So,
I'm very curious to see Rebel Moon, because...
Yeah.
I mean, I like his stuff. I like the idea behind it.
I know.
Too.
You love Zack Snyder. You want to marry him.
So, I'm a Zack Snyder apologist.
So, all right, I was thinking about something the other day, and I don't know why I thought about this, but in The Multitude of Madness, instead of wasting John Krasinski as Mr. Incredible there, they should have had Chris Evans as the Human Torch.
I actually
and the Illuminati with
that would have
with Captain Carter.
That would have been awesome. That would have been actually been pretty cool.
I think that would have been a far superior, like little like wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
And you know, save the reveal of John Krasinski, because now the first, like if they do go with Krasinski, right? The first time we've seen him is being a cuck bitch against Wanda.
Yeah, and you also know that if they don't get him, the uproar will be fantastic.
Ha, I see what you did there. That's very funny. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, like I said, like Shankman's been around. He's not like a newbie like we have in most cases.
And pretty much every other MCU TV show.
Yeah. I mean, he's got 56 director credits between TV and film. He directed 9 episodes of WandaVision, all 9 episodes. They've got Fantastic Four here. What else? Oh, he directed an episode of Succession. He directed an episode of The Boys, an episode of Billions, 2 episodes of Game of Thrones, 43 episodes of It's Always Sunny, an episode of American Gothic. He episode, 6 episodes of The Good Wife. Oh my God. He did 5 episodes of You're the Worst. Have you not seen that one yet? Have you seen that one?
I have not.
It's really funny. It was an FX show. It's on Hulu. You can watch that.
So you're given all these
New Girl, Mad Men, Fargo, Revenge, which with Emily Van Camp was the ABC show. The first two and a half seasons of that show was really good.
Yeah.
Happy Endings, The Good Guys, Chuck. I mean, I'm done. He did Chuck. We're good to go. The Riches with Eddie Izzard and the girl from Good Will Hunting. Anyway. Everwood. I mean, 6 feet under, Judging Amy. This dude has like bona fides, right? This is a guy who has like, I'm shocked that Marvel is going after him to direct things.
Yeah.
To be honest, he's far too accomplished for their normal fare of director.
Yeah, so you this is why WandaVision.
Wait.
What?
He acted in 3 episodes of Webster.
What?
Yeah, the show
Really?
Webster. Yeah. He was also on an episode of Different Strokes and in two episodes of Growing Pains. And he was on the Facts of Life.
Wow.
Dude, Matt Shankman might be my new favorite human. Anyway, I'm
There's
sorry.
a
Go
reason.
ahead.
Yeah. There's a reason why the WandaVision has been the best, most
Oh, yeah.
consistent MCU show to date. It's because you have a guy like that behind the helm.
You are correct, sir. Yeah, he directed all nine episodes. So good on you, Matt Shankman. I hope he does direct the Fantastic Four, honestly, because I feel like he really understood like who Wanda was in that moment of the MCU. Which obviously Sam Raimi did not. He just wanted her to be the girl from the ring.
Yeah, and that's why, and again, as much as I love the first two Spider-Man movies, there were things about that with Sam Raimi's style that just didn't fit with me. And while he did offer some really nice Sam Raiminess in the Multiverse of Madness, it's still there was a lot of that that didn't sit with me right, in the sense of I understand what they were trying to do. It's just that they didn't do it to the point where I was wholly satisfied.
All right, let's move on to Shibor. I mean, she something or another.
So I before we started recording, I kind of just went to Bounding. I was just seeing what new headlines and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, this is funny. Netflix finds the cure, cancels Resident Evil. But their review of She-Hulk, this should have been the first episode of the series. Abso-freaking-lutely.
I agree. We both we okay, just spoilers. We both like this better than the first one.
Which is not saying a lot, let's be
No.
honest. This first one was awful.
And I will say the thing I hated most about this episode was her family.
I will agree with that.
The second thing I hated most about this was the CGI.
I will agree with that.
The third thing I hated most about this is Tatiana Maslany.
Yes, I will agree with that. Although
Anyway.
she was easily more digestible in this one because there
No,
were
I think she was
instances.
worse. I think she was worse,
Well,
to be
see,
honest.
I will say there were instances, and not necessarily from a dialogue standpoint, but there were instances, a couple instances where I thought I saw a little bit of what this character should be in the situation, as far as not in over her head, in the sense of this big life change. You can't expect, there's no, and this is why this show, I don't have faith in this show. And what I mean by that, I've said from even last week, especially, and then adding on to this week, she has a lot of hubris in her character. And if you have a protagonist that has a lot of hubris, especially with a superhero show, that character has to find themselves low somehow. And I don't mean just because she got fired. That's not finding herself low, especially because she gets hired in the blink of an eye. I mean, something happens that it's something transformational happens when they reevaluate. The perfect example is Tony Stark. Now, Robert Downey Jr. is the charismatic bastard that he is. He made a character that is he was a bastard. Tony Stark was not a good guy. He didn't care about anybody. He was the quintessential narcissist. But guess what happened? What they did with Iron Man, something transformational happened with that character,
He
and
got
he
blowed
saw,
up.
yeah, and he completely, you saw that change in him. Yes, he still has his narcissism, as you know, that Black Widow's report in Iron Man 2 shows, and he was like, agreed. But you saw that change. I don't have faith in these writers that they will be able to do the same thing with She-Hulk. I just have no faith in them. None.
Real quick, just an aside. She is married to an actor named Brendan Hines. Okay.
Tatiana?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who played Andy Good in Terminator: The Sarah Connor Chronicles? The guy who made the
Really?
Turk.
Yeah.
So I like her a little more now. Anyway,
Man, that
sorry.
show. I missed that show.
I
Oh boy.
know. It's, oh, dude, talk about a show that's like ripe for like bringing back.
Yeah.
A 20-year-old failed Fox show that they gave no love to. Anyway, all right. So, yeah. So we meet Emil Blonsky. We re-meet Emil Blonsky, who is no longer Abomination. Well, he is, but he's not an Abomination form. And he writes haikus. And was just weird, right? Like Tim Roth was really weird. It was off-putting.
I'll say that part I was not a fan of either. I'm the guy that as even though I thought Smart Hulk or Professor Hulk was fine in Endgame, one, I thought it was way too early to bring him into the fold, and two, I did not like how they treated him in last week's episode. And so this Emil Blonsky thing where he's not Abomination in this in Abomination form, I don't know enough about the comics to know if that was a thing or not. It's still it doesn't matter in, to me in that regard because we've seen Abomination one, well, technically we've seen him twice, but it's again this is one of those things that seems too early to do. It, with the amount that we've seen the character, and that's what it's like the MCU sometimes gets lazy with this. Like everybody had, nano helmets where, the
Oh
helmet
yeah.
would disappear,
Right.
and it's not practical, and it just looks ridiculous. Like even the only one that almost made sense was Star Lord because he was the only one to actually push a button to remove his helmet.
Right.
Like Tony Stark, Spider-Man, and so it, this is kind of like the brand that they've been doing in the sense with everything, and I wasn't not a fan. I love Tim Roth, but that just did not. I don't know. It just and the whole haiku thing. I know they were playing it for laughs, but like they're doing everything in this show, which I understand that it is supposed to be a comedy, but it just wasn't funny, and
Right.
I wasn't a fan of it.
Correct. Cool. You come correct with your opinion this week. The whole thing too is like he breaks out after he's telling her he's gonna repent or whatever,
Oh,
and
so you didn't, since you haven't seen Shang-Chi, all that was a scene from Shang-Chi that they were showing where he was breaking out and having a fighting. I forgot you hadn't seen
was
that.
that really
So,
Wong? Because it says here in the story
yes.
like that it's Wong. So why is the Sorcerer
Yeah.
Supreme fighting in a fighting pit against Abomination? And was he the
Basically, in
Sorcerer
Shang-Chi,
Supreme in Shang-Chi?
yeah, because Shang-Chi took place after the snap. So, he absolutely was. So, like in there, it's a quick line where he's talking about he's trying to help him control his anger or something along those lines.
Wong
So
is?
we'll probably get Wong in episode three because of what we saw at the end of this last episode. But yeah, that
Insane.
was straight up from Shang-Chi.
So they're making it like requirement viewing for a movie nobody watched. Weird.
Well,
Weird choice.
well, I, in theory, I like the idea of making everything connected. But
I know.
again, when you say that, and then with She-Hulk, they don't mention anything about the blip, which, God, that's still stupidest
Did
thing
she
ever.
blip away? Was
We don't hear anything
yeah,
about that.
exactly. Like, did her dad blip away? Is that why he's so weird?
And the idea was,
Although her
I
dad
guess.
is Larry from Perfect Strangers. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yes, I know. That's awesome.
Did you watch The Leftovers?
I watched season one.
Okay, so let me get the actor's name because I wanna get it right. Mark Lynn Baker, who is her dad. He's like a whole thing on The Leftovers, like, in there's a couple episodes where instead of doing the Leftovers theme song, like, or like theme, whatever, they do the Perfect Strangers theme and like the same melody. Anyway, sorry. That's just an aside, but it tickled me. Anyway, yeah, I just, okay, just like out of five abominations, what do you give this episode?
I give it a 2.25. I
What?
thought it was, again, yeah, absolutely. I stand by that because I would actually watch this episode again. And I granted, I would probably see more stuff that was wrong with it the second time. I will not touch episode one again. It's one of the worst premieres of a show that I've ever seen.
Sure.
Now, 2.25 is not good. It's still lacking
Right.
severely in a lot of things. I just can say that I like this far better. And if this was the first episode, I still wouldn't have faith in that it was going to be good, but I wouldn't have been as down on it as I was after week one.
Yeah.
So, because I still don't have faith in the creators or the writers to make
Yeah.
this what it could be,
So
honestly.
I go 1.51.
Point, what's the that 0.01?
No, 1.51.
I know, but what's that like that
Well,
extra?
because you went 0.25, so I wanted to go out to the tens as well, or the ones as well. But and I mean, it was a little better than like 50% better than what I gave it last time. So, well, yes, I did not throw open my mouth watching this episode like I did the first one multiple times.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Jeez. I was actually halfway through this one. And granted, the one thing that probably helped this was only with runtime, with just the runtime, it was like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
I think
this
that
is
does.
so that's what helped the Big Bang Theory. I think that's why people liked it, because the runtime of those episodes were like 17 minutes.
Wow, I didn't realize
Like it
that.
was like, like if it went to 21 minutes, that was a shock, right? I don't know. I think the thing like that I really want to take away from this is I gave that extra 0.01 because Brendan Hines.
Okay, there we go.
So, all righty, moving on to our last bit of podcastiness. House of the Dragon, season one, episode one, the heirs of the dragon. Yeah, so I just want to read the summary. It's not very long, it's a paragraph, okay?
Okay.
During Old King, and I also kind of want to show off that I might know how to pronounce some of these names, which I don't. During Old King Jaehaerys Targaryen's reign, tragedies took his sons' lives, leaving the succession undecided. A great council convenes to choose Westeros's future ruler. Westerosi law gives a male heir preference over a female, regardless of birth order. Jaehaerys' grandson, Prince Viserys, is chosen rather than Viserys' older cousin, Prince Rhaenyra Targaryen. 9 years into King Viserys' reign, first of his name, the Triarchy, an alliance formed by the Free Cities of Essos, threatens the kingdom by wanting to seize the Stepstones region. Viserys must also restrain his brother, Daemon. Or Daemon's brutality as the City Watch commander in King's Landing, which is the introduction of the Gold Cloaks. Meanwhile, Queen Aemilia is about to give birth. Viserys, certain she will bear him a male heir, holds a tournament to celebrate. Never count those chickens, dude. During the event, Dornish Knight Sir Christian Cole defeats Daemon in competition, while Queen Aemilia and her son die in childbirth. The Hand of the King, Sir Otto Hightower, which is a name you hear a lot in Game of Thrones, proposes to Viserys' only living child, young Princess Rhaenyra, to be named heir to the Iron Throne. After a dispute with Daemon, Viserys proclaims Rhaenyra the next ruler. Do you remember Men in Black, the first movie,
Yes.
when they went out to the farm and she was talking about how it was like something wearing an Edgar suit? That's how I would describe this. This is a show that is wearing the skin of Game of Thrones. But it has none of the internal skeletal structure that made the first seven and episodes of seasons of Game of Thrones great.
I think this show is in a precarious position for two reasons. One, because Game of Thrones was the way Game of Thrones started, the first half of season one, and the intrigue that we got from that. Add to that the very disappointing way that Game of Thrones ended for a lot of people, for most people, even though I didn't find it as bad as a lot of people said, right. I still was disappointed with the ending. Add to that where everything has to be, well, it seems like so much has to be fast paced now in storytelling, where a game, honestly, I like where things aren't like, I mean, look at the Rings of Power, how Rings of Power comes. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that first episode is going to be full of action and all this stuff. It's just how a lot of these storytellers do, because, and I don't know if some of it's their fault, but others also it's people. I was reading somewhere where people don't know how to, like, people want everything now. You know, they don't have patience. They don't have patience. That's why people binge so much. It's just a lack of patience. And you add that together, and then you add also together maybe not the, I don't know who these people are behind the scenes as far as the writers and the showrunner, so I can't necessarily say they don't have experience. It's trying to live up to something that at its height, Game of Thrones was water cooler sport talk. Like everybody was talking about, so, or many people were talking about Game of Thrones. And this so much wants to be that while also trying to erase in a way the disappointment of 4 years or 5 years ago or whenever that was.
Right, right.
And so there are some really good things I see in this first episode. But there are also some really just kind of clunkiness to it. And I'm not even talking about the CG and the wigs, which to me personally were terrible, both of them.
Yeah.
So I'm very intrigued by what we see, what we got. It had a lot of the bumps and bruises of a usual series premiere, even though there's enough out there where it seems like it would have been able to hit the ground running in the sense of not having those same bumps and bruises as most shows. Right. So that's where I'm at with it. You know, I really enjoyed it. Or no, I won't say really enjoyed. I enjoyed it a fair amount. And I'm very, especially after watching the weeks to come, I think it seems like it could get better, even better than it was. Like not Game of Thrones level at as height, but I think this show could be very good. Because it's not like Marvel in the sense of Marvel has proven time and time and time again. I mean, you know, it's like maybe they won't hit me this time and they keep doing it. So I'm kind of checked out on them.
Yeah.
But I don't have that same negativity towards these people, like the creatives behind Game of Thrones. So
Right. There's
definitely a chance that this could be better. But I see what you're saying as far as it's wearing the skin. You have some of the music, which, again, at points I really liked.
And I think it's because, like, they used the music and they used, like, a lot of the same, like, CG footprint for King's Landing. And just mm-hmm. Here's the thing is I didn't dislike this.
Right.
I thought they laid it a little heavy at the beginning, kind of like She-Hulk with the intersectional feminism.
They absolutely did.
I loved the tournament. Like that joust was like one of the most brutal jousts we've ever seen. And there was a point there where you're like, holy shit, are they going to kill Matt Smith in the first episode? Like, honestly, like there was actual peril for that character. And hopefully they're able to kind of keep that up and then kill him off. But you know, having the Hightowers in there, having the Dornish in there, you know, we've heard these names.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, I think where the other thing is, you know, the dragons looked flat. So like for this one, it's out of five flat dragons, right? There was no weight to a lot of the CG, and I think that's why the first series, Game of Thrones series, or while Game of Thrones, whatever, was like they did not rely overly heavy on CG until much later in the series.
Yes.
And when they did, they picked what they did because of budgets.
And it's great. You used the same exact word that I used when I was explaining. I was telling Justice. I said those dragons, because she saw it too. Like immediately when we first saw the dragon, she was like, "That is not good." And I was like, and that's why I said, I was like, they have no weight to it. It's like She-Hulk. When she moves, there's no real weight to her movement. You don't feel it.
Right. It's like the one good thing Rian Johnson did in the Worst Jedi is when the ghost, Force ghost Luke was walking on the Crate Sands and not leaving footprints. Everyone's like, oh my God, this is just bad CG. And it's like, no, it was actually something actually kind of cool.
Yes.
So, yeah. But yeah, I'm not super opposed to this. I kind of want to read Fire and Blood. I don't know if I want to wait until this is over to read it, or, you know, just knock it out now. So the director, Miguel Spanochnik, something like that. You know, he's directed a bunch of stuff. He directed two episodes of Game of Thrones. He directed The Long Night, which was nominated for an Emmy for an outstanding director. So unfortunately, he directed episode 4 of Iron Fist. But he also directed Battle of the Bastards.
Oh, I love that.
So, I mean, like that, you know, I think... Oh, he did episode 4. Oh, nice. Sorry. He directed one of the great episodes of Falling Skies before that show fell off the rails. I think here's the thing. This show got off on a pretty decent foot. 2.17 million viewers. I mean, that's good. That's really good for HBO right now. When you consider in the 3 or 4 years since Game of Thrones has been off the air, like how the streaming landscape has changed. Like it was on HBO Go and HBO. There was no Max.
Right.
You know? And the original Game of Thrones was also the most pirated show on TV.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know. It feels like it's wearing a Game of Thrones skin suit because they're reusing a lot of like the quote unquote assets.
Right. Instead of it. Yeah, I absolutely see where you're coming from with that.
But yeah.
But I am cautiously optimistic. Just based on what we got and knowing that, you know, first episodes can be a little bit janky at times. And also what we saw and what I saw in the, you know, with the things to come.
Right.
I could be absolutely disappointed with this. I understand that. But this is one of the few things that I've seen lately, especially with, you know, we were talking about all this stuff and all these people getting sending the messages and putting messages and which again, messages are fine. It's when you beat me over the head with it, where I have a problem when you preach to me. And again, there are some things that I thought were kind of, while understandable from a plot standpoint, I knew exactly why they made those choices. Like with Queen Emma when she was in labor. I knew exactly from the moment why Viserys didn't tell her what the choice was. And then later on, I saw an article when they said exactly why they made that choice of him making the decision for her. Despite having a conversation before her, like earlier when she said, hey, I already lost 5 kids. I can't lose another one. She would have absolutely said, take my life to save this child's life. Without hesitation, based on what we knew about her character and what she said to her husband two scenes before that.
Right.
So, I mean, again, that might be a small little nitpick, but stuff like that it didn't necessarily bother me, my enjoyment, but it was one of those things where I'm just like, yeah, I know where they're going with this. And it becomes true. But like I said, cautiously optimistic. I'm looking forward to this week to see where we go. And I just really hope it becomes its own thing and not, like you said, more like a derivative of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I just want it to be its like I want it to be its own thing. That's the thing, more than anything else.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I want.
So, but yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm interested to see what's going on. I didn't care so much for the post, the post episode little commentary thing this time around, with Ryan Cordall, the co-creator of the series with Gurm, where he immediately went into the feminism, femininum, it was just, it's like, dude, why? Like, we got it. It was you hit me in the head with a steel chair of it in the first 30 seconds of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that another cool thing is they did have a Leroy Smith from Tekken in the game or
Yeah.
in the show. I
Oh,
just
yeah.
sent you a picture of it.
Oh.
Sir Lord Corlys Velaryon slash the Sea Snake.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. I'm curious
But
as to
I mean,
how
I
his
get.
hair got white like that. Is he
Yeah.
just old?
It didn't. Well, I mean, I was about to
Oh,
say he doesn't look it, but
no.
well, we already know the phrase. But yeah,
What's no, I
from
don't know.
what little
I don't know the phrase. What's the phrase?
black don't crack.
Anyway, yeah,
But
so
I liked his character in the sense of he's very measured, and I liked how what's his name, Steven Toussaint. Or Steve Toussaint really played that role. So, and I thought the acting itself was overall was pretty good.
Oh. The acting
I
was
thought it was really good.
fantastic. I think that was the best parts. And here's the thing, is the versions of Renaria and Olivia Cooke, who is I'm sorry, Renaria and Alicent Hightower, like these are the young versions of them. That's not their final form. I will say I'm a little hesitant of Emma Darcy. Because I didn't like her in Hannah, in that show Hannah. But that being said, that's the only thing I've seen her in. So I'm willing to like give her a shot. Obviously as Renaria.
Yeah, I think the acting will be the least of my so far.
Yeah.
It's just where this story goes. I can, as much as it is gonna bother me, I can put the CG and the issues with the CG behind me as long as the story surrounding it is captivating and good.
Yeah. The other thing is, Ally Hightower. She was in Me, Earl and the Dying Girl. I don't know if you saw that one. That was
I did not.
really, really good. And she was Artemis in Ready Player One.
Yes.
So,
Yes, she
but she'll be
was.
the adult version. So, the kid versions, I don't know how long they'll stick around or if they do flashbacks. But I did like both actresses that were the younger versions of the girls.
I
So.
did like them.
All right. So out of five flat dragons, what do you give this one?
I gave this a 3.25. I enjoyed it. I had to, like I said, we've talked about the issues that I had, but I think more importantly than the 3.25 that I'm giving it is that I'm actually looking forward to episode two and see where we go this season.
Same. Yeah. I went 3.11. Just because. Because it was better than halfway. Anyway, what?
I was about to say, I knew you liked that band, 311.
Oh, I totally forgot about them. All right, I'm changing it. I'm gonna give them a 3.19. Just so it's not 311. Because it did not like that band. Anyway, yeah, this to me, like I like this. This was good. It was It didn't erase the stink of the series finale necessarily, like just the letdown. But it was a nice way to get introduced back into the Westeros mindset.
Yes, I agree.
So cool. All right. Well, we went over an hour for the first time in a while. So on that
We
note,
did have a lot to cover, so.
we did, and we talked a lot. We were very verbose. Thank y'all for listening. We'll be back next week to talk about the Samaritan, the new Sylvester
Yes.
Stallone Amazon Prime, and I'm sure there's gonna be plenty of news that's coming out. But on that note, we will talk to you later.
See ya.
The FS podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on Apple Podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcast, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Daryl Jasper and me, Brian Tudor. To find more information about the show, visit us at infamouspodcast.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at infamouspodcast to keep up with the show. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons and are looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. Music for this podcast is provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.